Bibles to Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, and keep your Bibles open today. Normally, on Sunday morning, when I'm preaching, we will take a text or a passage of Scripture and try to stay close to that as opposed to having you turning in your Bibles as much, because sometimes what happens is it can lose its continuity if you're trying to find the passage. We'll be aware of that today. But there are some very important things in the Bible concerning the subject matter. And it's more important that you see what God says about it, that I can expound, than it is for you just to listen to what I have to say about it. Acts chapter 20, Paul is addressing the elders at Ephesus. We are going to pick this up in verse 28. And read down to verse 32, and our text is in verse 32. But before we go, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today to bow before you. In our hearts, in our spirits, we humble ourselves before you because we need you. This is your book. These are your words. We're your people, and your Holy Spirit is amongst us to help us to understand out of the passage that we're studying and the references we see today, things in the Bible that are vital to our relationship with you and our preparation for eternity. I'm asking you now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may get from this message, from these scriptures, that which you want for us to have to help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be very aware of our responsibility regarding your inheritance to us. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 20, begin reading with me in verse 28. Paul is addressing the elders at Ephesus, giving them last instructions before he departs. And he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now..." Okay, our text is here. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." God is going to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And you know about that inheritance, and you're instructed about that inheritance in the words of God. So he says, "I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." We're going to discuss your inheritance today. You know, if your family has means, and your father called the siblings together and said, "I'd like to sit down with y'all today and discuss your inheritance," You'd be excited. What time? What time are we going to do this? You want to know what you're going to get. Well, somehow or another, when we speak about an inheritance from God, it seems to be spiritual. It seems to be a long way off. Somehow or another, we don't seem to have that same anticipation and excitement. But I would say to you today, you don't want to miss out on this one. This is really something worth having. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is so much that goes with getting saved. As you've heard me say before, you have eternal life right now. You have the fruit of the Spirit right now. And of course, that's going to manifestly grow in you as you grow. You have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give you understanding in the words of God. You're not left to yourself to try to figure this book out. You have Jesus Christ's righteousness inside of you right now, and you can yield to his righteousness and do things right that you couldn't do right before you got saved. And you have a home in heaven waiting for you right now. And that's just some of what you get. That's not the whole package, but if there wasn't any more than what I just told you, you got something. You got something when you got saved. In addition to everything that you have right now, you also have an inheritance waiting for you in glory, waiting for you in heaven. And you know something? This is your inheritance. You have one. We all of us. Some of it is very much individually tailored to us. Some of it is share all, share alike. Part of it you receive unconditionally because you're saved and you're a child of God. Part of it you receive conditionally based on whether you serve the Lord and how you serve the Lord, and based on whether you suffer with Him or how you suffer with Him. So there's an unconditional type of inheritance we all get, and we all get the same, part and part alike. And then there's this conditional inheritance that you get that's governed by whether you serve the Lord and whether you suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll call the unconditional inheritance that you receive your eternal inheritance. Okay? We'll call it that. And we'll call that conditional inheritance that you receive your rewarded inheritance for the sake of this sermon. Eternal inheritance we all get regardless. Conditional or rewarded inheritance we get depending on serving the Lord and suffering for Jesus Christ. All right, do you see that? And he says here, this word of His grace is able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Well, let's take a look at it. This is our text. You understand we're talking about the inheritance. We don't have to come back here. This introduces the topic, so we'll move now to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to turn there, Ephesians chapter 1. Because I want you to see this for yourself. Ephesians chapter 1. And you know, you would be, if we were sitting down discussing a will and you were a recipient of some of the inheritance in that will, you'd be, yeah, I want to read this. I want to know everything that's in here. That reminds me, Brother Dickman told me years ago about a fellow that had a rich uncle, and he was young man, Timmy, was telling his rich uncle, he said, "Uncle, I sure would like it if you would remember me in your will." He said, "Yes, sir, nephew." He said, "I'll definitely do that." So when the day came for the reading of the will, Timmy was just so excited he was beside himself. And they read through page after page in the will, who gets what and where it goes and all that kind of stuff. And finally in the will, the paragraph says, "And to my favorite nephew, Timmy, who wanted me to remember him in this will." Now, Timmy is just perked up. He can't wait. Hi, Timmy. Yours is better than that. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, speaking of Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Briefly, you're not predestinated to salvation. It didn't say that you were. It says that when you're in Christ, in whom? When you're in Christ, then you have obtained an inheritance, and that He did predestinate, that you would have an inheritance when you're in Him. And He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He says in verse 13 about Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you hear the word of truth, right? Which is the gospel of your salvation. After you hear it, in whom also after that you believe, so you believe, now you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And what is He? Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Basically what he says is this: when you get saved, you have obtained an inheritance because you're in Christ. And He gives you the Holy Spirit now, which is the earnest of your inheritance, to let you know that when He redeems your body, that is, when you are now in heaven, you're going to get the rest of what you're going to get. And He gives you the Holy Spirit now as the earnest of your inheritance. And then He says in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And one of the things that He is praying is this in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And, here you go, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So He says, now that you're saved, you are predestinated to an inheritance. You've obtained it. It's yours now. And you're going to get it later when your body is redeemed and you have a glorified body. And in the meantime, He gives you the Holy Spirit so you know you can count on it. The Holy Spirit seals you and seals the promise of your inheritance. And He said, what I really want you to know is I want you to know the riches of, in verse 18, the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In other words, it's great to be saved, wouldn't you agree? But He says, I want you to know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, because I don't want you, you need to know there's something on the other side. And it's really, really good. And when you know that, it has a tendency to affect your behavior on this side. Peter says, and I won't ask you to turn there, about our inheritance that's on the other side. It is an inheritance, listen, incorruptible, doesn't decay, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So God has your inheritance, at least a part of it, reserved in heaven for you. It's incorruptible. It won't fade away. It's undefiled. That's tremendous. I'm looking forward to that. This eternal inheritance that's waiting for us mainly involves two things. Number one, it involves your glorified body. Now, I know some of you guys looked at yourself in the mirror this morning and you said, huh. Look at that. What a specimen. So I can't really impress you right now with the prospect of a glorified body. But I assure you, give it a little time. And what you see in that mirror is going to scare you to death. You'll be praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. He's going to give you a glorified body that is going to be like Jesus Christ. Right. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I'm telling you, exercise, as you know, for me right now is essential in order to prevent faster, further decay. It's essential. And where I go, there are mirrors everywhere. I don't need them. But I'll tell you something, one of these days, you are going to get, amen, brother? You're going to get a glorified body that is guaranteed. Signed, sealed, and delivered. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. No pimples. Perfect. Live forever. Be like Jesus. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. You don't even have to worry about dieting in that body. It's all good. Wonderful. You know, as you tick off more and more, you know, calendars in your life, you know what I mean? The more you really are ready for that inheritance. You know, when you're young and they tell you you've got a bad illness that might take your life, you'll fight for everything you got to keep it. You get to a certain stage, it's kind of like, what took you so long? Ready to go. Now, you're going to get that body when Jesus Christ returns for us at the rapture. Most of you know about it. I'm not going to take too long with this, but what's going to happen in the meantime is this. Some of us that are sitting here now won't be here when Jesus returns. We'll be dead. That's what happens. And our souls and our spirits will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us may be alive when he returns. When he comes and he shouts with the voice of the archangel and blows the trump of God, you're going to come out of the grave if you're dead, and you're going to change if you're alive. Your mortal body will be immortal, and your corruptible body will be incorruptible. And you're going to get that body right then, and then, woohoo, we all fly to heaven. And man, what a rejoicing that'll be. You'll have a body that can fly. You will not have to pay anybody that shoots rockets off the earth any amount of money to get you where you're going. Your body will go. You'll fly like Superman. Not only that, when you get to heaven, you're going to have, because it's there for you, reserved, that's what the Bible says, in heaven for you, you've got a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You got a mansion. I don't know what you have down here. A fifth wheel, an apartment, a tent, a cottage, a nice house, a big house. You don't have anything compared to what you're going to get. Yeah. What you're going to get? Incorruptible. Termites can get this one. Undefiled. That fadeth not away. Doesn't need a paint job. Your mansion. Yeah, some of the modern Bibles say, in my Father's house are many rooms. I want a mansion. If I got a choice. Right? I've got a room just over the hill to... You ever been to the plantation homes down there in Louisiana and seen those big mansions they built? Or anywhere up there in Rhode Island where all those wealthy people built those beautiful mansions up there in Newport, or down there to the Biltmore, you know, outside of Asheville, North Carolina? Beautiful. Nothing compared to what you have. The riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. That's waiting for you. You got that. And that's just a little bit of it. I can't tell you all the rest of it because I don't know all the rest of it, but I know that much. And that's pretty cool. Isn't it great to be saved? You know you're not going to be in hell, but not only that, you're going to get a brand new body and you're going to be with heaven, in heaven, in a mansion with Jesus. You know, as I tell you about what we're talking about right now, it just mystifies me how when people hear the gospel and all the things we get with salvation, how they're like, no, I'm not interested. Really? I realize that you don't see what we're talking about today, but man, you ought to at least give it some serious consideration before you just turn it down. All right, but go to Colossians chapter 3 now. Colossians chapter 3. So Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just a couple of books over. Colossians chapter 3. And look with me in verses 23 through 25. All right, that's the eternal inheritance. That's that unconditional. Everybody's got a mansion. Everybody's going to get a glorified body. Praise the Lord. Now we also have what we're calling the rewarded inheritance, and you'll see why from this passage here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Make a difference who you are, how much you give, how long you've been saved. You do wrong, you're going to receive for the wrong. And you do well, then you're rewarded, called the reward of the inheritance. That's why I'm calling it the rewarded inheritance. Don't lose your place if you can do this. If you can't get to Romans chapter 8 quickly, just stay where you are. I'll read Romans chapter 8. If you can get to that and not lose your place in Colossians chapter 3, then go over there real quick. We're going to look at verse 17. 16 for the context, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you right now, how many of you could raise your hand and say, the Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God? Yeah, that's a true statement. Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, conditional, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, there's a condition in the rewarded inheritance. If you suffer with him, and in Colossians chapter 3, if you serve him. That eternal inheritance, you got the mansion, you get the glorified body regardless. But this one is conditional. This is your inheritance that you receive from the Lord at something called the judgment seat of Christ after we return to heaven when Jesus comes to take us up at the rapture. You see, this probably, what I'm going to tell you, probably answers a question you've had in your mind. How is it that a person can get saved and then commit a really bad sin and still get to go to heaven? Probably somebody has asked you that, or you may have even thought about it. Well, there is accountability. There's an eternal inheritance. He's not going to take that away from you. When you become a child of God, that's what you get. But there is a conditional inheritance. And he says, I'm going to judge you for how you serve me, and I'm going to judge you for whether you suffered with me while you were in the earth. There is accountability. So you decide, I'm saved. I've punched my ticket out of hell. Let's live it up. You're going to face him at the judgment seat, and you're going to find out that was not a good plan. There's accountability with God, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. People who don't get saved don't get to go to that. They go to the white throne judgment, and that's not going to be good. But people who get saved, we go. To the judgment seat of Christ. And that's rightly so. When you serve the Lord, you will receive the reward of your inheritance. And likewise, if you do wrong, Colossians 3:25, you're going to receive for the wrong that you have done. Not hell, because Jesus has already paid for those sins. In other words, your inheritance is rewarded to you based on how you serve the Lord, and whether you suffer with Jesus. You say, why do you keep saying when you suffer with Jesus? You know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to this. You're at the lunch break, or you're at the restaurant, or you're with your friends, and somebody starts going on about Jesus, and you say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And they're like, what? And you're like, I didn't mean it. What's for dessert? Sorry I brought it up. Why? Because you realize not everybody. You know, he said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. May I confess something to you? I don't like that verse of Scripture. Probably some of you grew up like I did. I want people to like me. I really do. I mean, am I alone? Yeah. I want people to speak nicely of me. But if they're going to hate my Savior, I got to be able to take it on the chin with him. Amen. And side with him against this world, regardless of how the world responds to my desire to serve Jesus. We all do. If you bear that reproach, you know, these guys, Peter and all these guys, it was worse than that. They said, if you keep preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to kill you. And they killed him. Can you imagine when you get to heaven, you chickened out talking to a neighbor about Jesus Christ because you thought maybe your neighbor might say something bad about you if you did? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get to heaven and you see a little girl up there? And you say, well, what did she do? Years ago, back in the time when there was an Inquisition, back in the time when the Bible was now being published and people could read it and people were testifying of the salvation of Jesus Christ, there was a young girl, teenage girl. Her parents were Christians. She was a Christian. And the church, wouldn't you know it, didn't want them professing the ease of salvation that you and I have today. And they knew the way to get her parents to recant was to threaten to kill that girl. They tied her to a stake at low tide. And the way that tide, some of you have been around these kinds of tides when you've traveled, that tide starts coming up. It comes up pretty rapidly and comes up to a certain depth. They tied her to that stake and they said to the parents, if you don't recant, we're going to let you stand here and watch your daughter die by drowning at high tide. She hollered back across that beach, said to her parents, don't you dare recant. You stand for Jesus. Here comes that water. Here comes that water. Mother's tears. There goes their daughter. She died. And her parents didn't recant, and she didn't either. You're going to be up there in heaven, and you're going to see her crowned and rewarded with her inheritance, and wonder how she got so much, being a little girl, and you have so little. It's going to be hard to face her and say, yeah, but I just couldn't work up the nerve. Really? I just couldn't work. I mean, they started cussing in the coffee bar, and I just had to laugh. I didn't want them to think I was an oddball because you know. Yeah, I know. We all face it. We all have flesh. We all have to contend with our own selves. But Jesus did something. He hung naked on a cross and shed His blood that you and I might be saved. And He's just basically saying, look, the least you can do is take it for me after what I did for you. You know, knowing that Jesus Christ is returning soon and knowing that I'm going to face Him at the judgment seat of Christ, those two things were two of my greatest incentives for serving the Lord back in the day when things got straightened out between me and God. Jesus is coming soon. I thought, oh, I have so little time. I've done so much that was bad. I've got so little time to do something that's good. Man, I just put on track shoes, Jesus track shoes, and got going for God. I thought I got to get as much done as I can before He gets here. And then thinking I was going to face Him at the judgment seat of Christ, I thought, I got to be real careful about how we proceed here. I don't want to lose a possible rewarded inheritance. If it's important enough to Jesus Christ to offer it, it should be important enough for me to want to receive it. I mean, you understand that. If your parents worked real hard and did something really special to give you a present on a very special day in your life, and they're always, oh, I gave you this really special present. You look at that and kind of, oh, well, okay, whatever. Thanks, appreciate it. That'd break their heart. Jesus Christ said, I've got this inheritance for you. And you're like, well, whatever. Just give me a cottage on the backside of heaven. It's okay. When you see what you miss, you'll be not saying okay. Listen, I tell you, that not only did those get me going 35 years ago when I heard about them, or nearly 40 now, they keep me going today. That judgment seat of Christ is real. Pastor David Peacock's wife, Dreena Lynn Peacock, some of you know who I'm talking about, made some beautiful framed scripture pieces. She gave me more than one, but gave me one particular one that's sitting up on the bookshelf there at the house in the den. make every decision in light of eternity and the judgment seat of Christ. That's a fabulous reminder. You know, you and I need to be reminded about our inheritance and even warned not to forfeit the rewarded part. I mean, you could lose your inheritance. There are two common things that Christians are doing today that are going to cause many of them to forfeit their rewarded inheritance in heaven. You say, what are they? Number one, building a worldly inheritance instead, to the exclusion of the rewarded inheritance. And number two, squandering their inheritance through living in sinful pleasure. Those two things. That's going to bankrupt a lot of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. Squandering the inheritance through sinful living, reckless, or forfeiting it because all of the effort was not to serve Christ, but was to serve the worldly inheritance. Those two things. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about those. So you understand, there's an eternal inheritance. If you're at zero, you're still going to get a mansion. You're still going to get a glorified body. Hallelujah. But there's a rewarded inheritance, and apparently it is significant enough that the Lord said, if you will serve me, I will give you the reward of your inheritance. Okay? And it must be good, because he said you don't want to lose it. Let's talk about those two things that might cause somebody to lose or forfeit that world, that rewarded inheritance. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, specifically the place we're looking at, is about this. It's about Christ. Christ is the foundation of his own temple. And Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and now y'all are coming behind and you're building on this temple. And if you build with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, everybody's going to find out what you built with. I'm going to take a little bit of license with this text and just say, this text gives you a great idea of what it's going to look like to have your rewarded inheritance go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build up upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now watch. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The humorous Jim White, the evangelist who used to preach, he's now gone to be with the Lord, used to say, yeah, we're all rolling our big ball of wax up for the meltdown at the judgment seat of Christ. There's a lot of stuff that's going to go up in smoke. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. We're talking about a rewarded inheritance. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you don't lose your salvation at this judgment, but you could lose everything you work for if what you work for goes up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. It's the wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, all of us know that is fuel for the fire. Gold, silver, precious stones, they come through the fire refined. Right? All right, so this passage, you know, while it has to do with how you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, gives you a visual, you know, understanding of what it will be like at the judgment seat of Christ when you had a reward that could have been yours and it goes up in the fuel of the fire of the worldly inheritance that you sacrificed instead for what you could have had had you known there was an inheritance waiting for you. I'm going to give you a perfect illustration of what I just said. How many of you know the character in the Old Testament named Lot? You know what I'm talking about? Lot. Lot is Abraham's nephew. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees with his dad, he also went with his nephew. When his dad died, they went on down to Canaan, which is the land promised for their inheritance, and Lot went with them. There was a famine. They went down into Egypt, and those two guys got filthy rich. I shouldn't say filthy rich, but, you know, filthy lucre is what the Bible calls it. So they had so much in possession when they came back to the land of Canaan. They had too many cattle for both of them to continue to live together. There ain't room in this plane big enough for the both of us. And what was happening is their herdmen were quarreling with each other. It was a bad testimony to all the other people that lived around there. So Abraham just said to Lot, you pick. You want to stay here, you stay here, I'll go. If you want to go, you go and I'll stay here. You pick. And Lot looked from where they were down to the plain of Jordan, where the Jordan River is. And he saw it was well watered, a lot of grass. So he said, I'll take that down there. They got all his cattle, all his herdmen, everything. They went down to the plain of Jordan. Plain of Jordan, where he went, was right next to Sodom and Gomorrah. Like Bob Jones Sr. said, it was a great place to raise cattle, but it wasn't a very good place to raise kids. And Lot became very wealthy. I mean, he was already wealthy, but increased his wealth. So much so that he sat in the gate at Sodom. You know what it means to sit in the gate there? It's like you're a councilman. You're a man of status now to be able to sit in that gate. He's become one of them. Well, you know the story. There was a lot of bad things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels came to Abraham, told him what they were going to do. Abraham pled, don't destroy it if there are 10 righteous people down there. Listen, Lot and his wife and his two unmarried daughters were the only righteous people down there. The rest of the place was in sin. He had no spiritual influence on the people of that city. Everything about his life was dedicated to his ranching operation. Are we together? The angels came down there and he's in town. You know the bad scene. Men of the city have surrounded Lot's house to know the two men that have come to get him out of town. Sexual promiscuity, off the chart. The angels get Lot and his wife and the two daughters out of town. And what happens next? God rained down fire and brimstone, and literally, to this day, you cannot find evidence of anything that was ever there. You know what happened? Everything that Lot had worked for went up in smoke. He lost it all. See, I heard Adrian Rogers preaching on the radio one time, and he says about the judgment seat of Christ, oh, you just say, I'll take a tent up in heaven, it doesn't make a difference to me. Just a cottage on the backside up there, it's good enough for me. But you know what? If you're in your car and you're driving home right now, it was an afternoon sermon, and you pull into your neighborhood and you see fire trucks down there about in the vicinity of your home, and you drive up and find out it's your house is on fire, you're going to be in a bucket of tears when you see it burning, and you're going to be so upset about all the heirlooms and valuable things you lost in that fire. So don't tell me, Adrian Rogers says, you're not going to be upset when you see what you could have had going up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. If you'll cry over a house and earthly possessions down here, you will weep sorely over the eternal reward you've lost in heaven. Why? Because you decided you wanted to do it all down here instead of building up a rewarded inheritance in heaven. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people naming the name of Christ today, professing to be Christians. Many of them are, who are putting it all down here, and they're not putting any up there. And it's going to be a bad day in heaven. You say, but I got a mansion. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, pearly gates. Yeah, but there's something else up there waiting for you. Up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. Wood, hay, and stubble. Don't do that. Solomon said, wisdom is good with an inheritance. You should apply your heart to wisdom and ask yourself if you are building up your worldly inheritance or you're building up your rewarded inheritance. I'm telling you, what you see in the Scripture, don't leave it all down here. Don't do that. Don't do that. So here's this wonderful rewarded inheritance available for you in heaven with your undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, eternal inheritance. And some people, it's all about them and it's all about here and it's not about him and it's not about up there. Don't let that be you. Number two. Some, it's not their worldly inheritance that causes them to lose it at the judgment seat of Christ. It is their squandered inheritance that causes them to lose it at the judgment seat of Christ. And the best example of that in the Bible is the prodigal son. I ask you to kind of show me a hands. How many of y'all knew the character Lot? And most of you know who I'm talking about, but now you got a pretty good idea who he is, even if you didn't. How many of y'all know about the prodigal son? Yeah, you know about the prodigal son. So there's two boys, the elder and the younger. Dad's got a big old ranch in operation, and the younger son, when am I going to get mine, Dad? When am I going to get mine? Dad, I want mine. I want mine now. And Dad said, okay, so there's your inheritance. He took that, went off to the far country, and blew it all on riotous living. Funny thing is, when he ran out of money, all those people that were such good friends of his weren't anywhere to be seen when he was broke. They were good buddies as long as he was buying the rounds, but as soon as he ran out of money, they didn't have a dollar for him. He went to work for a fella feeding his pigs, and he said, I'd just soon eat what the pigs are eating as eat what I got. He was so hungry. And then he realized, you know what? Better at my father's house as a servant than it is here as his son. He got it all when he asked for it, and he blew it all with riotous living. Proverbs chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, 21 says this, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. You're in 1 Corinthians, go to Ephesians chapter 5. So you're in 1 Corinthians, next would be 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 5. You say, preacher, I came here looking for a happy message today. I'm not happy right now. Well, let me tell you something. When you straighten out whatever it is between you and God that's not making you happy, you'll be glad you came here today. Might be Wednesday before we see that smile on your face, but man, you'll be thanking God because you now got an opportunity, right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. This you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath what? Any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You see, a covetous man down here, and believe me, man, we live in a covetous society. You know what? You know what a picture window is? You know what a picture window is? A picture window is that's where they've got whatever's on sale in the store on display. Isn't that what they call that? A display window or something like that? Picture window, is that it? Display window? Okay, you know what that is. I said, you know what a picture window is? And they're like, I don't know, where are you going with this? Display window. Yeah, they got that all that thing you didn't know you wanted until you saw it, and then now you got to go inside and try one on. That's what it's there for. It appeals to the covetous nature that we have, that, oh, they have one of those, and I need one of those. You know, when the, never mind. We live in an oversexed society today. And the sins that are pointed out in this Bible that you're not supposed to do, a lot of Christians are doing today. Lasciviousness, evil concupiscence, fornication, adultery, whoremongery, pornography. That's that first part. And they're in churches. They even have churches that are for them now. Whatever you're involved in, you're good here. Nor unclean person, a lot of uncleanness, because we're supposed to be sanctified. Covetous man, more driven by what they want down here than what God's offering up there. He says, those guys, and it's not an exclusive list, he just basically says, don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There are two other passages in your Bible, we won't turn there, add some things to the list. Thieves, drunkenness, okay, revilers, extortioners. It's a big list. You get the point. Whatever's going on in Ephesians chapter 5 or over there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, or over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, verse 9, where you're going to forfeit that. It's just the riotous living. It's just the riotous living. And Paul said, you know what you don't get if you do that? You don't get an inheritance. You get to go to heaven because you're a child of God, but you don't have any inheritance waiting for you when you get there. I tell you, there are many Christians who fit the description that you're reading about here. You know them, and I know them. But let's say this. They're not here. We're here. So we're not preaching to them. We're preaching to ourselves. If you find that you're involved in the things he says here, hello, then you need to remember, it may be fun now like it was for that prodigal son. It's not going to be fun when you find out you just squandered your inheritance. You're going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Hey, how come he got so much and I don't get anything? Well, because he waited. An inheritance may be gotten hasted at the beginning. The end thereof shall not be blessed. He waited. He served me. And now is his payday. You got your payday down there. All that dissipation, all that riotous living, all that living it up. Let's have a big old time. Woohoo! You know what R.G. Lee, he preached a sermon, you know what he called it? Payday someday. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You know, there's coming a sad awakening when some Christians get to the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to go up to Christ's throne so thankful to be saved, and they're going to walk away empty-handed because, like the prodigal son, they squandered it down here rather than saving it up. Listen, you say, would Christ really receive us if we've done that with joy? You know when that prodigal son got home? He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And that father killed the fatted calf, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, put some shoes on his feet, hugged his neck, had a big old party and said, thank God my son is home. And Jesus Christ is going to receive you with the same joy. But then you're going to say, oh boy, now the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder what I got waiting on me. And he's going to be like, sorry. You know, that prodigal son got home and he got all that, but he didn't get an inheritance. All of what that father had now belonged to the elder son. All the cattle, all the servants, the house, the land, the fences, the water, the whole thing belonged to the elder son. Sorry, son. You already received your inheritance and you went through it. There's nothing here for you. Glad to have you. So thankful you're home. But I can't do anything about the rest of it. You blew it. You blew it. You see, there's an eternal inheritance. Aren't you glad you got a mansion in heaven? Aren't you glad you're going to get a glorified body? But there's a rewarded inheritance. And it must be worth something. It is. Gold, silver, precious stones. You say, what am I going to need that for? You're going to have to get there to find out. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that you might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what he's telling us in these passages is, don't spend it up down here and don't invest it all down here. There's too much at stake. Serve Christ, and if somebody points you out for being one of his children, don't duck. Stand up and say, yes, sir. I'm one of his. I remember years ago, I was coaching a soccer team there in Beeville, and I was so burdened for those kids. Yeah, soccer, you're coaching them, you get burdened for it. We're trying to teach them soccer. We're not trying to teach them about Jesus, but when you know Jesus and you're concerned they don't, you get concerned about it. So one day I got them all around and I said, okay, look, guys, before we start the practice now, I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. Is there anybody here that's not ashamed to say, I'm a Christian? I didn't expect anybody to respond to that. I was trying to feel them out and see, because I figured most of them were lost. And I remember a little fellow named Donnie, 15 years old. That's a tough age. That's a tough age to stand out for Jesus. That's when boys, you know those big old long socks that have the shin guards in them that when they play soccer? You know what those are for when you're 15? For the comb. That way when the girls' team is on the next field, they're preening. They're at that age. Anybody here unashamed to let the other folks know you're a child of God? I'll never forget it. Old Donnie stepped right out in the middle of it, turned around, looked at him, said, I'm not ashamed to tell him I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Jesus Christ saved me. I was like, wow. At 15? That was impressive. Now, you know what? A couple of those other guys got saved. I got to baptize them. They got in church. That was a good thing. I think Donnie's testimony was very helpful there. Don't be afraid, even though you know that they're not going to like it, to stand up and say, I just want you to know, I'm a child of God. I'm praying for you. I pray you get saved too. You say, I might have to suffer for that. Yeah, boy, but when you see the reward, you'll sure be glad you did. And when you face Jesus Christ and you see that little girl I told you about, you'll be like, I know what that's like. A little bit. The reward of your inheritance. You get it. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to open the Scripture and really have our eyes open. We love being saved, but wow, how it is to get instructed about all the other things that go with it. Now, in this subject of inheritance, Father, I'm praying for our folks. All of our heads are bowed, and all of us are in a spirit of prayer right now. I pray your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and in our minds and our spirits right now, speaking to each one of us individually about how you want us to respond to what you've shown us in this text today. You have your will, you have your way. I pray as your Holy Spirit moves, we'll move with you. But we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.